This is Brian Cheffins, and this is the first of the series of lectures that will be made available for the LLM course on corporate governance. During this course, we focus on a number of key themes, and this lecture relates to the first of these themes, overview of key corporate governance matters. And this particular lecture looks at corporate governance as a topic for study. Corporate governance is concerned with the systems by which companies are directed and controlled. More broadly, it encompasses the checks and balances affecting those who run companies. The terminology itself, corporate governance, is fairly new. In Britain and most other countries, usage of the term corporate governance in the business world only began about 30 years ago. Now, corporate governance is a term referred to with great frequency in the financial press, law review articles, management journals, and elsewhere. Since the early 1990s, corporate governance has generated in the UK considerable debate, much media attention, and academic commentary, and a number of high-profile investigations of the topic. Reviews of corporate governance have also occurred in numerous countries around the world. As part of this process, the approach to reform adopted in the UK has often been the standard against which proposed changes have been measured. The head of asset stewardship at State Street Global Advisors, an American fund management giant, said last year that what the UK does, quote, often has a ripple effect across the market. What shows up in the UK will often be in other markets in the next 5 years. I discussed in the subject forum the potential audience for a course on corporate governance. For additional background on why the topic is suitable for a study, and for additional general background on corporate governance, please see an article cited on the lecture outline I wrote in Legal Studies at the time this course was launched in Cambridge. As with most sources cited on the lecture outlines I make available, it can be accessed through the course webpage available via Moodle. You can find a link to the article on Moodle under the heading Articles, Book Excerpts, and Discussion Papers, and the subheading Articles. In the subject forum, I talked about course logistics, but I will reiterate and elaborate now. The primary focus in this course will be on developments in Britain. Students from elsewhere should nevertheless find the course to be of value because corporate governance will be an important topic in any country with a meaningful stock market. Company law is a key feature of corporate governance and this course. Correspondingly, while there are no formal prerequisites for this course, students will find this course much easier to understand if they have already studied company or corporate law in their own jurisdiction. Those lacking familiarity with company law should, if they've not already done so, do background reading on the topic, and focusing in particular on UK company law. A good choice for doing this will be Davies' Introduction to Company Law, published by Oxford University Press. The third edition was published earlier this year, so the source is right up to date. With course materials, the primary departure point will be lecture outlines that are going to be made available for each major topic that we're going to consider. These lecture outlines do not provide a comprehensive treatment of subjects covered in the course. The lectures and supporting PowerPoint slides offer essential supplementary details. However, the lecture outlines identify key themes and provide references to assigned readings and to statutes, regulations, and cases we consider in the course. As Michaelmas term begins, lecture outlines are available on the Moodle web repository for this course for the first three themes that the course focuses on. Lectures on these three themes will take us through to the end of Michaelmas term. I mentioned in the subject forum that there is no single text that we will rely upon in this course. Note, though, that there are various potential sources to which students can turn to for guidance on the UK company law facets of the course. From a student perspective, the most suitable source on the legal detail covered in the course is the Davies Gower Worthington text, Principles of Modern Company Law. A sizable proportion of the assigned reading, as you'll see in the lecture outlines, is from this book, particularly in Michaelmas term. Squire Law Library staff are working hard to make pages assigned available to you readily. with other assigned reading, on various occasions, I'll ask you to read excerpts from two books of mine. The 1997 book is dated, but offers analysis of various topics we consider that remains pertinent. The 2008 book is an historically oriented book, but also it also deals with a number of themes that we consider. With neither book is the assigned reading sufficient to justify contemplating buying the books. The Squire Law Library staff will be making available the relevant excerpts from my 1997 book. My 2008 book is available online via Oxford Scholarship Online. You can find a link on Moodle under the heading Articles, Book Excerpts, and Discussion Papers with the subheading Book Excerpts. As for other sources, the most useful will be Moore and Petrin's Corporate Governance book. One reason it will not be a text for this course is because during Michaelmas term, we focus on legal detail to a greater extent than Moore and Petrin do. That is where the Davies-Gower-Worthington text comes in. Moreover, with respect to corporate governance as such, the emphasis in this course differs in various ways from Moore and Petrin's book. Correspondingly, you will not be asked to read everything that they have to say about corporate governance topics that this course covers. Still, the Moore and Petrin book is a source you can expect to draw upon regularly as we go through the course. Yet again, the Squire Law Library staff is working hard to make the pages assigned as reading available to you online. I will mention a couple of other sources listed on the syllabus / reading list document. Cardale's Practical Guide to Corporate Governance is, as the title implies, aimed at practitioners. It is not suitable as a text because the approach taken is insufficiently academic. Nevertheless, should you want further background on governance topics I discuss, this title would be a good place to start. Christine Mallon's Corporate Governance book provides an accessible introduction to key corporate governance topics. It does not supply, however, sufficient legal detail to qualify as a main text for a course such as this. While there is no prescribed text or casebook for the course, you will need to purchase a published set of company law statutory materials. The Companies Act 2006 is the legislation under which the vast majority of British companies are regulated, and I will refer to numerous provisions in this act. I will also refer to some provisions in other legislation, such as the Financial Services and Markets Act 2000 and the Insolvency Act 1986. And these statutory measures are included in the published sets of statutory materials that are listed on the syllabus / reading list, and you should certainly be purchasing a set of statutory materials for this course. As will be discussed, debates about corporate governance focus for the most part on companies that have their shares traded on the stock market. In the UK, larger companies with publicly traded shares are typically admitted to the official list maintained by the Financial Conduct Authority, or FCA, which regulates financial services in the United Kingdom. When the FCA acts as the competent authority in this area, it operates as the UK Listing Authority, or UKLA. In 2013, the FCA replaced the Financial Services Authority, or FSA, as the regulator with responsibility for regulation of publicly traded investments, such as shares. Older sources to which you refer will discuss the FSA rather than the FCA. It is inappropriate in general terms to assume the FCA and the FSA are interchangeable. Nevertheless, for the purposes of this course, we can assume that this is in fact the case. Correspondingly, when you see references to the FSA in older sources, you can typically assume in this particular context that what is said remains the same under the FCA. Companies on the FCA's official list, known as quoted as listed companies, have their shares traded on what is known as the main market of the London Stock Exchange. Listed companies must comply with provisions from various parts of the FCA handbook. Sections of the FCA handbook, known as the listing rules and the disclosure and transparency rules, are of particular importance. These regulatory instruments are typically not included in statutory materials made available for sale. Correspondingly, an edited collection of the relevant provisions has been prepared. An electronic version of the document is accessible via the Moodle webpage for this course on the law faculty website. From a corporate governance angle, the most important aspect of the listing rules, ironically, is a document not actually set out in the listing rules, and this is the 2018 version of the UK Corporate Governance Code. Companies subject to the listing rules that have what is known as a premium listing are required by the listing rules to disclose the extent to which they comply with the UK Corporate Governance Code, even though the code is a standalone document. These are the companies, premium listed companies, that the course will focus on. Listed companies with what is known as a standard rather than a premium listing are not under an onus to address the UK Corporate Governance Code. That is also the case with companies that have their shares traded on a secondary or junior stock market the London Stock Exchange operates, this being the alternative investment market or AIM. The UK Corporate Governance Code, as with the listing rules and the disclosure and transparency rules, is typically not included in statutory materials available to buy. You can find a link to the UK Corporate Governance Code on the Corporate Governance Moodle page under the headings, under the heading Codes, Legislation, Regulations, and Cases, with the subheading Codes. There is an additional code to which we will devote considerable attention. This is the Stewardship Code, which targets those who own shares in publicly traded companies rather than the companies themselves. A new version of the code was issued earlier this year. Again, it's available on Moodle. Both codes were promulgated by the Financial Reporting Council, or FRC. The FRC is not a government regulator per se. Instead, it is a non-governmental body vested with supervisory authority over the setting of accounting and auditing standards that apply to UK companies. It has also been delegated various key additional regulatory tasks, including in relation to key corporate governance issues. Primarily due to criticism of its oversight of auditors, it may well be replaced by the Audit Reporting and Governance Authority, or ARGA, which will have a formal statutory basis the FRC lacks. The UK government, though, is not treating enactment of the necessary legislation as a priority. As a result, it is not clear when the switch will occur. I'm going to turn finally for this lecture to course logistics. The syllabus and reading list draws attention to key sources to which students can refer to gain an introduction to the topic. Numerous additional sources are cited on the lecture outlines that you will be looking at as the course proceeds. As I've said, most of these sources are available via the Moodle-based course webpage. There are additional books, many additional books in the library that deal with corporate governance, and the Squire Law Library subscribes to various journals with articles on the topic of corporate governance. Notable examples of such journals include Corporate Governance International Review, Company Lawyer, and Practical Law for Companies. Students for this course will be evaluated by way of a written examination, likely be written online. Writing a thesis is not an option for this course. With the exam, contrary to the standard pattern with the LLM, students will in all likelihood be asked to answer all questions set. In most years, there have been 4 questions on the exam. The teaching for this course will be oriented primarily around recorded lectures of mine. Bobby Reddy will do the lectures on executive pay. He will also lead workshops supplementing the lectures. These live sessions, which will be carried out online, provide students divided into smaller groups with the opportunity to work through questions similar to what are likely to appear on the exam. To supplement lectures, a live 1-hour slot will be scheduled every 2 weeks during term where students can raise questions they might have. These sessions will take place Thursdays at 9 a.m. The way things will work is that students who have questions to ask will need to submit them at least 24 hours in advance. No other questions will be addressed. Students, though, of course, will have scope to ask follow-up queries regarding the answers provided. During the academic year, I will circulate to you at least 2 written assignments to be done on a voluntary basis that give you an opportunity to do exam-style questions. I will offer feedback by email and also discuss the questions in sessions scheduled for Q&A.